May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Every time I come across the story of Abraham, who is asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, I get this strange feeling in my chest. How can God ask a father to sacrifice his son and heir, his very own child, the child he loves dearly? What a cruel kind of God is that? And especially in Abram's case, who, together with Sarah, happened to stay childless until they were old. They were already way beyond the age of having children. And then, in the end, they still got Isaac. Abraham must have felt devastated when he heard God's call to sacrifice Isaac. Why was God asking this of him? God did promise him many descendants, didn't he? How was that to happen with Isaac dead? And then, according to the story, they went on their way, Abraham, Isaac, and the servants. A 3-day walk. And when they saw the mountain Moriah, Abraham said to the servants, "Stay here and wait for us." "Us," he said. "The boy and I will go a little further, and we will worship there, and then we will come right back. We will come right back." How could he say that? He knew that he was going to sacrifice Isaac. How then could he say, "Wait for us, and we will be right back"? It's a mystery. And then the most horrible bit of the story. Isaac asks his father about the lamb for the sacrifice. And he gets a vague answer. "God will take care of that." But as vague as it is, Isaac accepts it. And then Abraham prepares the altar, binds Isaac, and puts him on top of the firewood. As a father, I cannot begin to understand how Abram must have felt while he was doing that. And as a son, how must Isaac have felt when his father put him on top of the wood and lifted up the knife? What a horrible scenario this is in this story. And then all of a sudden, God turns everything around. The moment that the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham," and he replied, "Yes, here I am." And the angel of the Lord says, "Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And on that very moment, Abraham sees the ram that he can use for the sacrifice. And he names the place, "The Lord will provide." And according to the last line of the text, that saying stays with the people as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. That is an important principle for believers until this day. God will provide. But it's not the most important message of this story. The most important message is in this story that God is faithful, that God keeps his promises. He promised Abraham to make him the father of many people as his part of the covenant. As long as Abraham and his descendants keep their part of the covenant, which is fear God and follow his commandments. The challenge put before Abraham in this story is immense. He has to fear God and follow his commandments, even when that will cost him the most precious in his life, his own son. But that is put before Abraham, and mind you, it's also put before us. Constantly, we are remembered that God did what Abraham didn't have to do. I'll say that again. We are constantly remembered that God did what Abraham didn't have to do. God sacrificed his one and only son to save us. And in return, we are asked to fear God and follow his commandments. We are asked to deal with the challenges that life puts in front of us, and to do that in the way of the commandments. Whenever we make important decisions, we have to ask ourselves if we are in line with the commandments. Does our decision make thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Or does it not? It is God's wish that we fear him. That word fear is an old-fashioned word and easily misunderstood. We are supposed to fear God. A lot of people might understand this as being afraid of God. But that's not the meaning of the word fear that is meant here. To remind myself, I looked it up in a big dictionary. What does God-fearing really mean? And it said there, someone who is God-fearing is filled with respect, reverence, and veneration towards God, being devout and pious. That is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to treat God with respect, reverence, and veneration. And that's not a strange idea to us. It's an idea we very well know from what Jesus called the two most important commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And immediately after that, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs everything. So, fearing God doesn't mean being afraid of him. Fearing God means love God. And as soon as we say love God, that immediately is followed by love your neighbor. Well, then how do we show our love for God? Of course, yes, that can be in prayer and in worship and in beautiful church services. That can all be part of it and should be part of it. But according to Jesus, the first and most important way to show our love for God is by loving your neighbor. Or, as today's gospel says, treat a prophet with respect. Treat the righteous with respect. Treat everyone with respect. As Matthew says, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. A cup of cold water is the least you can give. It's a simple gesture. A simple gesture like this that can be of such great value. Love your neighbor. And of course, we would like to go for the big gestures instead of the simple ones. For example, it would be wonderful to find the cure against coronavirus and then cure the whole world. But not everyone is capable of doing such things. Still, we can start with the things that we can do, that we are capable of doing. And if I go with the example of coronavirus, I would say, keep social distance. Keep washing your hands. Stay home when there is a chance of infection. In other words, keep your neighbors safe and healthy. Give them a cup of cold water. Fearing God means that we find out what we can do, what we are capable of, and in that way build up the kingdom of God. Respect for God, respect for our neighbors, respect for the world we live in. Find out what we can do. I would say go and do that. Amen.